Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
New England has no timeouts remaining, 23 seconds to play, and the Jets are going officially now to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888. Oh, that's fine. I could tell this was Bruce Springsteen. This is from that album Radio Nowhere, right? Was that it?
Well, that's the name of the song.
Oh, this is, American Radio Nowhere. I remember because, like, one of the last things, when Dog, I think this came out in 07 or 08, whenever Dog left. And it was like, this was the song he played nonstop, and I remember he was always, "Is anyone alive out there?" Which is like one of the lyrics to this song too, because
yes, that's
Dog was a big, obviously is a big Bruce Springsteen guy. 888. It just reminded me of Dog when I heard this.
They played it on the afternoon show that I worked on in Baltimore. I think it was like the show closed every.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
80. Yeah, Radio Nowhere. 888-808-1019. Thankfully, we're radio somewhere right here on The Fan. And we're talking about two impressive victories with the Jets and the Mets. The Jets, Aaron Rodgers. I was just texting with Fliegelman. He's got a wedding this weekend, and he's just basking in the glow. Right now, the Aaron Rodgers effect, that warm feeling coursing through your veins, that you actually have a quarterback, that you dominated the Patriots, that it wasn't even a game, that Aaron Rodgers was running around, throwing on the run, looking like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, that's just a glorious, glorious performance. Not to mention the defense absolutely smothering the New England Patriots, not allowing any kind of run game, which they've been able to do the first 2 weeks. Sacking Brissett 7 times in this game, or at least getting 7 sacks. I'm not sure if they had one on May, who came into the game late when Brissett got hurt. I don't know if they had a sack against May, but it doesn't matter. 7 sacks on the game. Will McDonald had a big-time game. The defense was pretty much all over the place, and the Jets just absolutely dominated 24 to 3. Just absolutely dominated this football game. Aaron Rodgers went down the field on multiple occasions, looking like Aaron Rodgers, just a dominant game. And the Mets continue to do what they do. It's just, again, it's the Mets world, and we're all just living in it. And they are as good as anyone heading into the postseason. I mean, I don't know how you could argue. They are as good as anyone right now. 888-808-1019. And the Yankees are still always the topic of conversation, at least on this show, as they will now head to Oakland for the last time ever to take on the A's and trying to finish off this division. That's the only thing left. Hopefully Juan Soto's avoided injury. Hopefully Jay Cousins has avoided major injury. And the Yankees can be as healthy and whole as they seem to be, as they were yesterday at least, heading into the postseason. Because that's the thing about them. Like, we know the Mets are healthy too. The thing with the Yankees right now, it feels different heading in. The last couple years, even heading into the postseason, it felt like either they weren't playing well or they were banged up. It never felt like they were heading in, playing their best ball, ready to go, locked and loaded. And right now it feels that way. It feels like this team is whole, healthy, pitching its best. You know, the offense has been doing just enough. Still shut down. You know, Seattle pitches very well. So if they continue to be shut down offensively in Oakland, you'll be a little bit more concerned. But right now, it feels pretty good to be a Yankee fan. Certainly feels good to be a Met fan. It feels tremendous to be a Jet fan. The only one out is the lousy Giants. And we'll get to them with the pick segment. 888-808-1019. Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
Good morning.
What's up, Stu?
Dodo is not hurt.
Let's hope Soto's not hurt.
And Cousins been fantastic the whole year, so hopefully that's a major deal.
No, he's important to them, absolutely. Cousins, that would be a blow to the back end of the bullpen. You know, everybody wants to see no more Clay Holmes. Good luck not seeing Clay Holmes if Cousins is hurt.
Well, let's hope he's not hurt, because Clay Holmes, I don't know, this year he's been very, after like the first month or so, he's been very shaky. And
yes.
13 blown saves.
I mean, I think the last two are stupid, but I'm not going to quibble. Everyone's going to just think I'm this Clay Holmes shill, so I'm not going to argue. But I think the last two, when you do it in the seventh and eighth inning, I think it's silly to get a blown save. But
no, you can't get a blown save seventh and eighth innings, although they did give it to him.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Because theoretically, he could pitch the rest of the game and get a save. So they considered it a blown save. It's stupid. It's not a blown save, but it doesn't matter. He's been bad. Point of the he's been giving up leads. Doesn't matter what category it falls into.
It doesn't matter what innings he's been in. He's been giving up leads, and it's not good.
No, it's not.
The bullpen by committee, it reminds me of the mid-'80s Cardinals when Whitey Herzog employed that bullpen by committee, if I'm not mistaken. And it worked out for him, sort of. Didn't it? It got him a couple of pennants and whatnot, a couple of World Series appearances, and he employed it to the best of his ability. But this bullpen by committee is pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, right now, again, and I know he brought in Clay Holmes the other day, and nobody likes it, but the bullpen by committee, and here's the point, right? And here's what is going to make a lot of Yankee fans pessimistic about their chances in the postseason. I don't feel the same way, at least not to the same degree. I'm always concerned about everything. But with this bullpen right now, I know they're going to say without a traditional closer, and they're going to talk about bullpen by committee, but right now, I mean, I'd be surprised if Weaver's not the closer. I know in the playoffs, you get creative. Like, if you remember Terry Francona for the Cleveland Indians when they made it to the World Series in 16 and lost to the Chicago Cubs. That Andrew Miller was a dominant reliever. A dominant reliever. And he completely, like, revolutionized how to use relievers in the postseason. He was bringing Andrew Miller into the fourth and fifth innings if needed. Like, he strictly said, Andrew Miller is my guy, and at any moment I think the game is on the line, I'm going to bring him in. And he would bring him in so early into games, it was ridiculous. But it worked out for them, and it got them all the way to Game 7 of the World Series. And I think you could see Weaver in situations like that, I suppose, maybe even the sixth inning, if it's, you know, one-run game, bases loaded, one out, middle of the order coming up, and you want Weaver to get through that spot, you could see it. But outside of something like that, I think Weaver is the closer. But here's the thing that scares the Yankee fan. Bullpen by committee, or getting creative with the bullpen, relies on, and I saw Joel Sherman say this on a clip from the MLB Network. This roster and this bullpen is going to have to be managed, like, flat out. They don't have a closer, at least they'll tell you that, even though I think it's Weaver. But, I mean, you don't have set roles in this bullpen. You have Canely. Let's eliminate Clay Holmes for a second, although I don't think the Yankees will completely. But let's just say you're talking about seventh inning with a lead. Seventh inning with a one- or two-run lead. You have Canely. Hopefully Cousins is healthy. But you have Canely, Cousins, Weaver, Hamilton, Hill. Those are the five guys you feel comfortable about. Now, could you add Nestor Cortez or Clark Schmidt to that? Maybe. I don't know how good you'd feel about going to them with a lead. I think there are other situations where they might pitch. I'm talking about specifically close game, one-run lead, seventh inning. Those are the five guys that you could bring into a game. And there's no set role for any of them other than maybe Weaver is the closer. So you have to rely on Aaron Boone pulling the right strings and pressing the right buttons and bringing in the right guys in the right situations and the matchups of, oh, you know, there's a couple of lefties in a row, maybe it's Hill. There's the next four batters, there's two lefties, maybe it's Canely because his changeup works with lefties. You know, whatever the case may be, guys prone to the changeup, you bring in Hamilton or the Slombio, whatever. Like, if there's going to have to be a mix and match with this bullpen, and it's going to rely on Boone. And you've also got guys who have slumped offensively and aren't great defensively, and you have replacements on the bench. Like, there's going to be times to pinch run for guys, defensive replacement for guys. Like, this roster could be a roster moving forward that's very fluid. And that's going to rely on a manager making game-time decisions and in-game decisions that are going to directly impact how this team comes out the other side. And honestly, that doesn't scare me all that much with Aaron Boone. I think it terrifies a lot of the fan base. I know I'm unique. I know I'm different. I don't think Aaron Boone's terrific at it. It's certainly not something I kick my feet up and go, oh, you wait until Boone puts on this masterclass. By no means. But I also don't think it's some sort of, you know, terrible disadvantage the Yankees find themselves in compared to other groups and other teams.
Well, I'm sure if they do win a World Series and it goes well for him, fans will run to give him the credit that he deserves.
Yeah, well, sure they will. They'll give everyone else but Boone the credit. You kidding me? But, I mean, that's part of it. Because that is the kind of roster. But, like, I don't see, like, that's like I don't see them getting into a series with the Astros and go, oh, Spot has got the head big-time advantage. He's a rookie manager. Who knows? Or, you know, what Voit or whatever his name is in Vogt. Cleveland. Voit. I know there's a G in there somewhere. It's
Vogt. There is.
If Voit, like, you know, I'm supposed to be afraid of his managerial skills. Now, that bullpen's excellent. That's the only, I would say, of all the teams in the postseason, the best unit is the Cleveland bullpen. I'm trying to think of another group. Seattle's not going to be in the postseason, or you could argue their rotation. I think if the Yankees lineup is clicking, the Yankee lineup, but it's too inconsistent and too much past history of not coming through in the clutch to say the Yankee lineup. The Yankee rotation, I think, is pretty damn good right now.
You could say the
healthy
rotation if they make it.
Yeah, right. Well, I was talking American League, but you're right. I'm Yankee focused right now. Yes, if you look at overall playoffs, yeah. I'm trying to think. The Padres bullpen's another bullpen that's locked and loaded.
And the Dodgers lineup.
Dodgers lineup. Mets rotation. But in the American League specifically, just for a second, because we were talking Boone, I would say that the Cleveland bullpen is probably, of all the playoff teams, the best unit. And I don't think they're holding, because their rotation is in shambles. So, like, right now, Baltimore's falling apart. Cleveland, the second best record, the Yankees are now a half game up on them for the overall one seed in the American League, has a great bullpen. I don't trust anything else. And what's his name? Their leadoff hitter just went on the IL for 10 days. So, and their rotation's in shambles because of injuries. The Yankees need to get to the World Series. There is no excuse for the Yankees not to get to the World Series. And I think the Mets need to get to the postseason. At this point, this would be a devastating, devastating end of season if they can't make it to the playoffs. But I think they will. They're playing just phenomenally well. And I expect them to. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come right back. Maybe go around the league a little bit in the NFL because we got picks coming up. Obviously, continue to take your calls on Jets, Aaron Rodgers, Mets, and Yankees. Anything you want to talk about, McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And it takes a knee, and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I've never seen. All right, 324, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. So I was thinking, last night, right, Thursday night, and we had the Yankees playing during the day, and you had an enormous Met game, right, an enormous Met game against Philadelphia to start this series as the Mets are, you know, in pennant race baseball, which is fun, and a two-game lead over Atlanta, big game Thursday night. Jets open the open home opener against the New England Patriots, Aaron Rodgers. Big game happening at the same time, right? So I don't know what you watched, but I feel like the Jets were probably what most, if you were a Jet and Met fan, it's probably what you watched. I would think you went Jet. The game is once a week, right? You could always, you know, the Mets will play Philadelphia tomorrow again or later today, you know. So, like, I would think most Jet Met fans probably leaned heavy watching the Jets if they had to pick, if you don't have two TVs or however you handle your situation. But me and Fliegelman were talking about this, and I got to talk to Evan about it because this is right up Evan's alley. Next Thursday, a week from yesterday, you're going to have possibly, now I think hopefully, as a Yankee fan, that the division will be over by then. But theoretically, you could have, it's the final game against that, against the Orioles in the Baltimore series. And if things don't go well over the next week and they win the first two games of that series, that's an enormous game, Yankees-Baltimore. It's also would be the last game of the Atlanta Braves series with the Mets. Mets-Braves. Right now, the Braves are only two games back of the Mets. They're playing Philadelphia the next three nights. We all know what happened at the end of the year 2 years ago when they played the Braves. There's a chance that game is extremely meaningful. So you could theoretically have two teams, one the Yankees battling for a division with Baltimore, the final game of a series, where that could still be up in the air. The Mets and Atlanta battling for the third wild card, with that still up in the air. And then the Giants and the Cowboys. Now, if the Giants lose to the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, and the Giants are 0-3, football is king, right? We all know it. Football is king. But if you're a Giant fan, if you're either a Giant Yankee fan or a Giant Met fan, what are you doing next Thursday night? 0-3 Giants. Taking on the Cowboys at home. Already, the season's already dead at 0-3. It's already dead. You have two baseball teams battling for their lives. What are you watching? Because I can tell you as a radio host, I always think of what I would open with. What's the bigger story? What would I would open with? I got to tell you, and I'll be following the Giants broadcast that night because obviously Giants will be on The Fan. So will the Yankee game, but the Giant game usually typically goes longer. Post game, clearly longer. So I'll be on after the Giants post game show. Even if they beat the Cow, like, if they, what am I coming on talking about after that Giant game? Giants are 0-3, seasons dead. Yankees and Mets possibly battling for their playoff and division lives. What's the story? I don't think it's the Giants. I think for the first time in my brief radio history, I think I would come out of a Giant broadcast talking baseball. That's unfortunately where the Giants are. Now, if they beat Cleveland and they beat the Cowboys that night, maybe I'm having a different conversation. But if they're 0-3 heading into that game, and you have two, literally, I mean, it's the exact opponents they're battling with. Now, there's a chance the division's already over at that point for the Yankees. They have a four-game lead. So hopefully, if they win two out of three against Oakland and take one of the first two games against Baltimore, the division will be over. But if the Yankees go on a losing streak, if Juan Soto's knee is banged up and he can't play for a week, if that game means something, you have a battle for the division. You got the Mets in Atlanta, which very likely could be a battle for the postseason. And you'll have Giants and Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. Where's your priority? What's the story? I don't know. I mean, I think the Giants have put themselves in a position to be third on that list. And that's hard to do. Football is king. It's once a week. They play 17 of these games. They played 17 games this month, the Yankees and Mets, practically. But I, because of the opponent, because of the nature of where both of these teams are in the standings, and because of how important those games could be, I think there's a chance the Mets, what's the best option? Right, I think if you ask me right now, I think the Mets Atlanta is probably the story coming out of that night. And that's really, you know, shame on the Giants, honestly. 888-808-1019. We have a whole week to try and figure that out. John in Miami. What's up, John?
Yes, sir. I was wondering, do you agree that it's BS that Amazon ruined the whole rest of the country with the exception of New England and New York to watch the game because most people don't have Amazon Prime and they couldn't figure out how to get it on the TV. So
I tend to disagree with you. I think the idea that most people don't have Amazon Prime is, I don't even know how that's possible. I think in today's day and age, everyone has Amazon Prime. I mean, just for the 2-day shipping. I mean, I think so. Everyone has Amazon Prime. The Amazon's the one and it's been for a couple of years now. If you want to watch Thursday Night Football, you got to get Amazon. It's really not that hard to navigate. Everyone has it because they have the free. You do it for the free 2-day shipping on Amazon, and it's too old of a
account. I thought it was.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I thought it was less people than that. I know a lot of people have Amazon Prime so they can get the free orders, but yeah, they couldn't figure out how to get it on their TV.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that many. And honestly, if you're a big-time NFL fan who is desiring to watch the game, it's part of life now, John. I understand it's not great. I wish everyone could just watch it on Fox, like the Jets were on today. But it is what it is, and it's the future. You know, I mean, it's just the way it is. As life progresses, it's just part of the nature of it all. You have to get these streaming services. It sucks to watch a Yankee game, to watch every single Yankee game. Like if you're a Yankee or a Met fan, but let's just focus on the Yankees for a second. If you want to watch every single Yankee game this year, you had to subscribe to Amazon Prime. Obviously, you have to have the YES Network. Then you have to have Amazon Prime. You have to have Peacock. And you have to have... Oh, not Peacock. This year was Roku. Roku. It used to be Peacock. Now Roku has the Sunday morning package, right? So you had to have Roku. You had to have Amazon. You have to have Apple TV+. You have to have those three subscriptions if you wanted to watch all 162 Yankee games. Like... That sucks. I get it.
I bet they're going to have Gotham Sports exclusive games next year.
You think Gotham Sports?
That's the app that YES and MSG are putting together.
Yeah,
I'm sure to get more people to buy it, they'll have games that are exclusively streaming.
Sure.
And also,
we have NFL playoff games that are exclusively streaming. So I mean, we're going to...
Baseball regular season games, certainly.
It's just...
And Yankee fans, Met fans tonight were upset because the Jets were on 5.
Right.
Because if you're local, you don't have to have Prime. They had the game also on 5. So now Met fans that were on Fox have to, you know, scramble to go find the other Fox channel.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's just it doesn't bother me anymore. I know it bothers a lot of people, and it sucks. If you're someone who doesn't have Amazon or you're someone who can't figure out how to use this stuff, or doesn't, or can't afford to sign up for a prescription. I get it, but it's just the way of the world. We have NFL playoff games, let alone Thursday night. Like, we have NFL playoff games you can't watch unless you are on Peacock. Like, it's, I'm just used to it, and it's the way. It's the future.
Like, Al Michaels is doing ad reads for NBA on Prime this year. He's like, oh, we're excited to have the NBA on Prime this year.
Yeah. I mean, he does that with more enthusiasm than touchdowns, which is to his credit of being a professional. He also sounded better doing the Olympic updates, the AI version.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think they used AI from 1980.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you know. I mean, listen, that if that doesn't scare you as a broadcaster, I don't know what will. They don't even need us anymore. They're just gonna type. They're gonna get our words. Type. Someone's gonna write it up. They got you.
I mean, they already do it for all the video games, right? If you play any sports video game, they have the broadcaster's voice. Like, you know, they pay them, obviously.
Yeah.
But they have all the phrases, and it fits along with the game, and it's not great, but it's good enough.
Yeah, they don't even need the phrases. AI just can, all you need is like a couple, you just got to make sure you hit all the different syllables and sounds, and they just generate the words.
I'm sure Tiki could sit out a couple of weeks, and we'll just have bad Tiki sitting the entire time.
Yeah, it could work. It could probably work. I'm sure Izzo would love to be puppet master and pseudo hosting a show. But yeah, I mean, I can't get hung up on the streaming anymore. I feel bad. I know it sucks, but I just can't. It's the way of the world. Like, we just got to get used to it at some point. Like, and especially Amazon for 30, it's just been, Amazon's the one in particular that doesn't, like, everyone has Amazon Prime. Like, everybody. Everyone I know. Right? From, The baker, the candlestick maker, like, they all have Amazon Prime. Like, your grandmother has it. Everyone has it, just for the 2-day shipping. Like, everyone has Amazon Prime. Greg and Wayne, what's up, Greg?
What's happening, Chris? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I wanted to talk about that gentleman, and I'm sorry for kind of like interjecting on the baseball conversation, but I want to go back to that gentleman's conversation about Malik Nabers being better than Garrett Wilson.
Yes.
Garrett Wilson has posted 2 1,000-yard years.
Yes.
Including being offensive rookie of the year.
Exactly.
With the corpse of Joe Flacco throwing him the ball, and Zach Wilson, and a parade of other quarterbacks.
Yes.
What is that gentleman even talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculously unfair 2 games into Malik Nabers' career, because Malik Nabers showed a little explosiveness in the first game, and he's outplayed him. Like, you know, early on here, Garrett Wilson in 3 games has not played as good a game as Malik Nabers played last week. But that, I agree with you. It's way too premature to say anything other than Garrett Wilson is the better player as of right now. Malik Nabers has the ability to make that a conversation, but it is not right now. He's got 2,000-yard seasons under his belt. Malik Nabers has 1 good game with a drop pass on 4th down that's more memorable than anything else he did. So, yes.
100% agree with you. And yeah. I would also like to say this. I was at the game today. I was sitting in the lower bowl in the end zone. I've never seen the stadium so electric. The entire game, all of the fans were on their feet every time the offense was on the field and when the defense was on the field. It was just such a refreshing change to see a competent football team play the game.
Yeah. No, I mean, I can only, I'm totally with you. That's how I opened the show. It's not just, it's everything about that win and everything that went into it and everything you watched and all the feelings and emotions that it invoked in you. Like, there's no doubt. That has got to be, that's as good a night a Jet fan has had in forever. I mean, you have to go back, I'm not even kidding, beating the Patriots in the playoffs. Like, Rami mentioned beating the Patriots leading into that final game against Buffalo and losing that game against Buffalo. That night, again, beating the Patriots and setting up a game against Buffalo where you win and you're in. That was a good win, no doubt. And
that was the last time they beat the Patriots at MetLife.
That was the last time they beat the Patriots at MetLife. Great win, but it still doesn't have this, I don't know.
You were optimistic.
You were optimistic
you really
about
thought Buffalo wasn't good.
No, you thought you could. No question, you thought you were going to the playoffs. You thought you had a very good chance to get into the playoffs.
And you already knew because Pittsburgh had already lost that
right.
day. So it was like you felt like,
yeah,
oh wow.
You're probably right. I think I'm being, I'm probably being too.
I mean, even you want to go later.
Current
than that.
Bias, you
right?
Know.
Like Sam Darnold's first game on Monday Night Football, where they put up 40 points. It's
yeah,
rookie
the,
year. And you're
yeah.
like, oh my god, this is the guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe Jet fans were right about him, but.
But I still don't know if it's anything as good as watching Aaron Rodgers quarterback your team and knowing, like, you hoped Sam Darnold was the guy, and maybe he could be the guy. You know exactly who Aaron Rodgers is. Eric and Ronkonkoma, what's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac, good morning.
Good morning.
Just to touch on that real quick, it's just because I know the Mets are going to be on Apple TV tonight also.
Yes.
It's just a pain in the neck having to navigate, like, five different, you know, ways of watching the game. Now, getting to last night, though, because I know he just mentioned having to find the other Fox channel. Now, luckily for me, where I was, they actually had the Mets on Channel 9, which was like a nice blast from the past. So I was bouncing back and forth between Channel 9 and Channel 5.
Right.
You know, but to answer your question about which one was more important to me, I was more locked in on the Met game. Just because of the importance of the game and the fact that Atlanta had already won during the day, you know, and Arizona was leading while the Mets were playing as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, I was checking in on the Jets, but I mean, it's still Game 3 of the NFL season.
Yeah,
and the Mets in a much more
I agree, but listen,
right now,
let's just not mince words. Like, you know, I don't disagree with you. Which game is more important in the moment? I suppose. You can always recover from a week 3 loss, but let's be honest. If they were 1-2 out of these 3 games and just lost to the Patriots again, like, that's a devastating loss. Last night would have been a devastating loss. You can't lose to the Patriots when they're supposed to be one of the worst teams in football and you have Aaron Rodgers and you're on what's supposed to be a big time stretch here where you're about to have a big time season and you lose to the Niners, you just get past the Titans, and this is supposed to be part of the schedule where you got the Patriots here, then you got the Broncos, then you get the Vikings, who suddenly felt like part of an easy schedule, but you know, they're 2-0 and they just beat the 49ers, and then you got Buffalo. Like, if you lost this game, I mean, it would have been a devastating loss. Now you're right.
Sure.
It's week 3, and there's but the Mets do have a cushion. They'd still be a game up. I would bet you that most Met fan Jet fans probably went opposite of what you did. I respect what you did. I'm not saying there is no right or wrong.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. And I'm a baseball guy. Baseball is my favorite sport. So if it were me, I'd probably be more focused on the Yankees, I guess. It's tough. The football, there's only 17 of these games, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's why the NFL is so exciting, because every game is so impactful on where they are in the season. But, I mean, I'm glad they did, because, I mean, I don't know if you recall our conversation from yesterday. I was really hoping they would jump on Walker, which they did. You know, they were phenomenal. I mean, I think Alvarez's home run is still going.
What a bomb.
I mean, and what was so ironic was, they had literally just said, you know, even though he's got a 2-0 count on him, he might want to throw him a breaking ball, and he throws him a ball right down the middle, and that was crazy, crazy. And thankfully, though, they got that extra run, you know, the 10th run, because it didn't get a little dicey. And that's the only thing I would say I might be a little concerned. Severino has been walking a few guys a little bit lately. I know he's still got the innings, I wouldn't say worry, but, something to keep an eye on as we get to the end of the season. But this last week is going to be, you know, fun to watch, I think. And I'm just hoping that they pull it out. I'm expecting them to, but,
of course,
you know, again, I'm going to be holding my breath a little bit at the same time. But enjoy your weekend.
You got it, Eric. You mentioned adding the tack on runs. Yeah, they're important. I thought the biggest home run was the biggest moment was the Nimmo home run. I definitely think that Nimmo home run was enormous because they jump out to the lead, which is always important. So I don't want to dismiss the home runs from Vientos and Pete, but You jump out to the lead, fine. Excitement, the building, everything. You know, the fans kind of called out to show up. There's a lot of excitement. They come right back and take the lead. They tie the game in the third. Now you're in a ball game, right? Now you're in a fight. And to not let that last a half inning, to jump right back on top with that Nimmo home run, I thought that was that's the game changer right there. That's the momentum swing. Then they go on to score runs later. They do make it 4-3 for a minute, and then you come back with more runs. And if I'm not mistaken, that was the same inning again, right? Don't they score the five runs in the same? Let me double check that. I think they bounce right back. Like, the Mets have been incredible at bouncing right back. Yes. So, yeah, they get the two home runs in the first to make it 2-0. Then they get the Turner home run that ties the game in the third, and immediately the Nimmo home run, which I think is the biggest home run. Then in the fourth, Philadelphia scores a run, making it 4-3, getting back into the game. Boom! Bottom of the fourth, they score five. Like, they don't let it sit for a second. They don't let the doubt creep in for a second. They don't let Philadelphia feel good for a second. Like, that's what I love about this team. Like, those are important runs. Like, obviously you got to score the runs to win, but doing it right away sets the tone, and it doesn't let Philadelphia ever feel like they're gaining traction. Because if Turner hits that home run and it's tied 2-2, and that tie lasts two or three innings, or they get that extra run and make it 3-2, and it lasts a couple innings, like that momentum starts to build, and you could feel it, and the Met players would feel it. But instead, boom, that two-run home run gives you the two-run lead right back, and it's almost like, nope, not today. Not today, Philly. I don't care what you're going to do. I got you today. And then, you make it 4-3, all right, boom, we'll hang a five on you.
Even at the end, they score three runs to make it 9-6.
That's right, like bounce back with a run. Right there. Yeah, that's true. You look at this, every inning Philly scores, the Mets score in the bottom of the same inning. That is the mark of a good team. I love that about the Mets, and that's not unique to tonight. We've seen that before. The resiliency of the team is not only just this season, not only just the month, not only bouncing back after being down 11 games under 500. It's within games they show this resiliency a lot. And looking at that, I love that about this game. Every inning that Philadelphia scored, the Mets scored in the bottom. They don't let negativity linger at all. They don't let momentum change linger at all. That's big time baseball, and that's what the Mets are playing. All right, 888-808-1019. I see your calls, guys. We'll take them, but we do have to come back. We'll do picks here. We'll have a little fun with that. We'll do the Take a Chance parlay. And then we'll get back to Jets football, Mets baseball at the top of the hour. Maybe even mix in a little Giants. We haven't touched much on the Giants. I'll do, obviously, on the picks here. But haven't touched too much on the Giants as they get ready for a game against Cleveland that I don't know how I feel about. We'll get to it next. McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Quick break, picks next, and I got you till 5 in the warm-up show.
When this happened, you talk about it on the Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, here we go. 3:52. I'm going to do your NFL picks for week number 3. I'm already up 1-0. Nailed that Jet pick. I don't know if you heard me at the end of the show. Yesterday, I said the Jets were going to blow them out. Said the Jets were going to have at least a 2-touchdown victory, and that's exactly what happened. Is they had a 3-touchdown victory. So I'm 1-0 last week, went 2-3, and the other two knuckleheads went 1-4. So I am currently in the lead at 500 for the first 2 weeks at 5-5, and we'll get into week number 3 right now. I'll save the Giants for last. Let's go with our 3 picks. If you don't know how we do it, I do the locals. and we do three other picks. Let me start with my three other picks. I did not have a lot of faith in this team when the season started. In fact, I picked against them in week one. But they have impressed me to the point where I think this spread doesn't make sense. And typically when the spread doesn't make sense, I run from it. But my instincts have been so bad to start the year that I'm just going to say this. Look, this line doesn't make sense to me, and I'm going to go with why it doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to take the Vikings plus 2.5 at home against Houston. I know Houston heading in was the far better team. I know C.J. Stroud, but honestly, I haven't been that impressed. I know Chicago's got a pretty decent defense. I thought they played, you know, poorly in that game the other night against the Bears. And they were right there with a Colt team that, honestly, the Colt team, yeah, Richardson's talented. Their defense stinks. Minnesota has played really good defense. Flores has got them really coached up, and Sam Darnold's played really well. They just beat the 49ers. They have looked really good in the first 2 weeks. I think they have looked better than the Texans. And at home, I'm getting 2.5 points. I just like that line. I know something about it makes me think, oh, you know, they're begging you to take Houston. I don't know. They're begging you to take Minnesota, excuse me. And maybe they are, but I'm going to do it. I'll take the Vikings plus 2.5 at home against Houston. Green Bay played really well last week when everybody thought Malik Willis wouldn't be able to play. I don't know if Love's going to play this. He's practicing. I don't know if they're going to play him. You're giving me the nod. You think they're going to play him? I don't.
If he's practicing, he was a full participant in practice today.
Yeah, I guess.
Yesterday.
But I still think him coming back, I think Tennessee has played relatively well here. And I think defensively, they've done a pretty good job. And if it wasn't for just boneheaded plays from the quarterback, they would be in trouble. They could honestly be 2-0 right now. Instead, they're 0-2. I like the desperate team. I have a feeling that they're going to win this game. Give me Tennessee minus 2.5 over Green Bay. Even if Love plays, he's coming back from a knee injury. I'll take my chances. And I think they're desperate. I think that offensive line is coached by Callahan, the best offensive line coach. And I like the tough love that Brian Callahan has given to his quarterback, just calling him out flatly. So I think Will Levis is going to turn the ball over a lot less, make a lot less dumb decisions. They have a great run scheme, and they have the best offensive line coach in the game. So give me them. The Tennessee Titans minus 2.5 at home against the Green Bay Packers. And then here's another one where I'm going 0-2. And here's a theme for week three. 0-2 Tennessee. 0-2 Baltimore. At Dallas, minus 1.5. I can't imagine this team coming off of that loss, looking at 0-3. And you can give me all the numbers about how many, you know, playoff teams when you're 0-2, the chances of making the playoffs. Fine. You want to talk about 0-3 when you've got a very good chance you could be staring at a 3-0 Pittsburgh team? I know Cincinnati's 0-2 as well, but Cincinnati just played a game of their against Kansas City and looked like they could be back to being a dominant team in this conference. Like, can Baltimore really go 0-3? And I know the Cowboys are coming off an embarrassing loss, but I think you learn something about this Cowboys defense. And I think there is a way to attack them. And I just can't believe Lamar Jackson and this group is going to go 0-3. I think they find a way. I think the defense and the offensive line are going to find ways to play better. Jackson's going to make enough plays. And I know Dallas has been dominant at home. I get it. But like, I just have a tough time thinking Baltimore is going to go 0-3 in this year. So give me the Baltimore Ravens minus 1.5. And then we get to the Giants. I said I wouldn't pick them again if they lost the Washington game. That's what I said. I said this was the last chance I was going to give this Giant team, and I was going to bet against them at every turn if they could not figure out a way to beat Washington. But I guess I'm a dope, and I'm going to go against my word, because 6.5 sounds like a lot. Deshaun Watson, I don't think played particularly well. Everyone, much better game from Watson. I mean, Jacksonville is in a funk right now. I don't know what's going on with them. What has he lost? Eight consecutive starts? Like, this was a team that was the number one seed last year coming back from London, and they have fallen apart. And they made dumb mistake after dumb mistake in that game. And I know that the Browns defense last year was historic at home. But this is a new year. I don't know if they've looked as good here. They coming off a victory, Watson has played better. But this Giant team, I think if they can figure out a way, and the offensive line's been better and they're gelling. If they can just run the ball a little bit and do what they did against Washington, which is get the ball to Neighbors, I do think they can keep this close. I don't trust Watson at all right now. I don't trust this team. I just don't think they're good enough to be a 6.5-point favorite. So my Giant fandom tells me throw everything on the Browns. The gambler in me is telling me 6.5 is just a ton of points. So I'm going to take the ugly dog, and I'm going to take the Giants, having zero faith in it. But I just think they figure out a way to lose close. But they're not going to win. They're going to lose because they're the New York Giants. They're quarterbacked by Daniel Jones, and Brian Daboll is killing me. But I still think it's 6.5. We'll get more into the Giants on the other side. We haven't done much on it, so we'll break down the game a little bit better than this pick segment quickly. But I am going to take them at +6.5 going against Cleveland. Now, I'm going to give you the picks on the other side from Fliegelman and Marco. Both went 1-4 last week, so I'm not sure you even want them. But Rami's here with me, and he's been sitting with me for 5 hours, and I would feel rude if I didn't allow him to just talk a little bit. So, Rami, I'm going to let you – let's do the Giant game because we got to do a local, and then give me your best pick of the week. So you got two picks. Here's Rami Lavi. Go ahead, take it away.
I'm with you. They say never bet an underdog unless you think they can win, and I don't think the Giants can win, but right. How can I bet that Cleveland offense and their defense, which is supposed to be so great, hasn't looked so great through 2 weeks? So 6.5 points is way too many. The Giants offense looked like they got right, albeit against Washington. I like the Giants to cover the number, even though I don't think
they win. And I think to my 0-2 point and to the Giants point, I think I saw a stat that it's like 0-2 teams are like 68% against the spread week 3. So that's kind of what I'm going on. But good.
Well, speaking of that, that's my other pick. There's no way the Ravens are going to be 0-3. I love that pick that you made. That's my favorite pick. I like the Ravens -1.5 in Dallas. I think they can win by 3 scores. I think they're going to take a page out of the book of what Green Bay did in the playoffs last year. Just turn around, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, and run the ball right down their throats for 3 hours.
Yeah, I think that and Lamar Jackson running the football is going to be...
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, part of it, obviously. So, yeah. But you're a Baltimore kid, so I don't know how to...
Oh, well, I worked for the Ravens for a couple years.
Exactly.
Yes, that's why I know the team well. I know Harbaugh. Lamar.
I hope you're right. Did you know they were going to blow a 10-point lead?
Yes, because when I worked there, they did it so many times in the fourth quarter.
And that's the other thing. The Ravens... I forgot that I should have written this down, too. The other thing about the Ravens, Lamar Jackson is 20-1 against the NFC. He's lost one game against the NFC, and it was against the New York Giants 2 years ago when they blew a 10-point lead.
That game, exactly. Yeah. I worked
that's
that
the
game.
Only, yep. That is the only game Lamar Jackson has lost against the NFC. I think that trend continues. How are they going to go 0-3? How are they going to do it? 888-808-1019. All right, that's the pick segment. We'll come back. We'll do a quick update. We'll come back. We'll give you the Take a Chance parlay, and I'll give you the Fliegelman and Marco picks. We'll do a little bit more on the Giants, but we got to talk Jet football. That's what today's about. Jets and Mets, Aaron Rodgers and what that team did last night and how they changed the feeling around an entire franchise, baby. McMonagle here with you. We'll come back after the update. Take you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.